pick up at. I'm going to read verse 14. Well, I'm going to read 16 and 17. And then we'll open up in prayer and we'll get started. I'm going to read 8, 16, 17. And then we'll get started. Romans 8, 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the reading of your word. We thank you for those who tuned in. We pray as we go forward that the Holy Spirit would enlighten us and instruct us in the reading of your word and the believing of it. We pray that as these things become more and more clear to us, we may make the choice as sons of God to do the things that you find worthy and well-pleasing. We thank you again for this time. We thank you for your word, for recording these things. And we pray that our time spent is always for your glory and for the edification of the saints. In Christ's name we pray. We pray. Amen. Okay, we're getting down to the suffering. Well, Paul is focusing on the suffering. And I think this is, as we go forward, keeping in mind that this is kind of a preparation for those who, once you get saved, you are in a position that we could participate with God. And I think this is the whole, the goal that Paul is getting at. Part of his establishment is for us to see the position that we have in Christ. It's given us the opportunity to be the image that Adam lost. And that's what Christ comes to do, is to restore us to that image. Not just in the position, but in the practice of it. And when you go through all the way through the 5, 6, 7, 8, even 9, 10, 11, I would say actually the whole book, is the education on our position in Christ and also our opportunity for the practice in Christ. See, the only person that separates the position from the practice is us. It was never intended for God for us to be saved and to sit down. It's always been the goal for us to be saved and to become a partaker, not only in the benefits, but the suffering and the labor that goes with it. And Paul is encouraging us in this aspect is, along with the position, there you should be prepared for the suffering that is to come. And if you can endure the suffering as a son, if you can say, not my will, but thy will, then there's something in store for us, for you, that your labor is not in vain. It doesn't go unnoticed, and it doesn't go unrewarded. Now that is grace abounding, where God will save you freely, empower you freely, labor in you, and then reward you really for what he's done in and through you. That's amazing, isn't it? Let me show you a verse real quick here. Run back to Acts. We'll say good morning to Pastor Smith that's tuned in. He's honoring us with his presence. We appreciate that. Even though he's being a little disobedient, he knows what I'm speaking on.
Good morning. Good morning.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Acts chapter 2. In verse, let's start at verse 21. Acts 2:21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now this is Peter giving his sermon to the Jews after Christ's crucifixion, after his suffering, and after his resurrection. And he's offering back to the Jews that, Peter says, that same Jesus. the same one they crucified, the same one they rejected. He's offering him back if they change their mind about him. Acts 2:21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and signs, by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Now, what I want is this. Two things. They spoke about, Peter spoke about Jesus Christ, a man approved among you. They saw his labor. They saw his ministry. They saw the signs, the miracles. All throughout the Gospels, you know, they would make statements like this. We never seen it done this way. We never seen it done on this wise. We cannot deny that this man has done a notable miracle. These things were, as Peter says, many infallible proofs, or Luke, many infallible proofs. They saw this, that he was approved of God. And verse 22 says this, the things that he did, the miracles, the wonders and signs, which, who did? God did. God did by him. You say, well, he is God. But remember, he's in the Gospels, he's functioning as the Son. He has subordinated himself to the position of the Son, where he would say, not my will, but thy will. And the verses show us that God did these things by him as he fulfilled the word of God. And that in that fulfilling of the word of God, guess what happened to Christ? He suffered unto death. Philippians said that he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And God did these things by him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says this, to know that God was in heaven.
In the flesh.
God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Now, God was in that body. God was in Christ. We know that. Now, guess where else God is today? Back to Romans 8. We started off with that. The Spirit is not there just for to make you feel good, to empower you to do like Jesus, the miracle signs and wonders. You know, the miracle sign and wonder now, the Spirit working in us, is for him to transform us into the image of his Son, to conform our will to his will. That's a miracle, isn't it? For him to change us from saying what I want to what he wants. Now, it may not be a miracle to you, but when I think about throughout the day, how many times I say, I want to do this, or I don't want to do that, I can say that it's a notable miracle for me to say, not my will, but his will. And Romans 8, that's when we get to verse 16, that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's who bears witness with us, who tells you, the Spirit does, that these are the things that you ought to do. These are the things that we should be indulging in. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit. By the word, the Spirit works in us. It convicts us as well as empowers us. And thank God for that. We can choose to listen, or we could choose to grieve the Holy Spirit. And we saw previous lessons that the Spirit is there for how long? Until the day of redemption. That's why Paul could say to us who are saved and sealed that we should grieve not the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that bears witness with us that we are called to service. That's what he said, the children of God. We are saved. We're called to service. Our liberty shouldn't be a license to do what we want. The scripture said we've been purchased, we've been bought with a price. The Holy Spirit is our assurance. He's our earnest of our inheritance, of the purchased possession. That's us. And the Spirit is there to bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, I'm going to that because he should say this to us. The goal is not you. The focus should not be on you and what you want. Hold your hand there. Turn back to John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. You know, I have one of my preacher friends, not Pastor Smith, another pastor. He would say, he would always pray about or pray to the Holy Spirit. He would always say, you know, Holy Spirit, we thank you for this. Holy Spirit, we thank you for that. You know, that type of a prayer. And it always kind of threw me off because I never heard anybody do that. I never heard the so-called, you know, grace circle do that. But here's a verse I want you to look at. John 16, start at verse 5. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me whither goest thou. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Comforter, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things, Jenny, that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Now, I looked at that verse because this. The Holy Spirit is just like, he'll have the attitude just like the Son. The Holy Spirit won't come to take the front stage, so to speak. The Holy Spirit works works behind the scene to do what? To glorify the Son. So when I used to hear the one pastor, he would say, you know, Holy Spirit, we thank you for this and thank you for that. You know what? I can see the Holy Spirit saying this. Why are you talking to me? Why are you thanking me? You should be thanking him. that sent me. I hear that, you know, but I said that because this, the Holy Spirit bears witness with us. And the Holy Spirit would say, I'm here for one reason. And that's to glorify the Father, to glorify the Son in you. If we're on the same page with that, he says, then we can work together. Just like the miracles that God did by Jesus Christ, the works that we do will be by the Spirit dwelling in us. When you go back to Romans 8, that's what he says. Look back at Romans 8 again. In verse 11, he says that. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, does he? Does he? Is he dwell in you? Let me say it this way.
Yes.
Is he stuck in you?
Yes.
He's stuck in you, right?
That's our earnest.
If he dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body. That is, he'll empower it. He'll give life to it. Now, that's not just you being resurrected. That's you being quickened right here, right now. To do what? To do his will. And if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, verse 11, dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also, sound like that's a statement of fact, doesn't it? He didn't say he might also. He could also. Maybe he would. It said that he shall quicken your mortal bodies by through the instrumentality of his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So, who gets the credit?
He does.
Him who sent him, right?
Yeah.
He says, by his Spirit that dwelleth in you, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the capital S Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Again. How does the mortification take place? Through the Spirit. Now, he's there, not just, like I said, for the guarantee that you are saved, not just to vouch for your being an heir, but he's also there to empower you to do his will. And he's there to comfort you. Just like John said, as the sufferings ensue. Because the minute you say, I will, when I say I will, that I want to do his will, guess what's next? The suffering. Just like your pattern. I would say, Paul said this, follow me as I follow Christ. Now, Paul said this, the moment he got saved is not my will, but thy will. Well, he didn't say it exactly like that, but he did say, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. You know, he said, those people that you are fighting, the people that you're causing to suffer, those people work for me. He said, this is one that you can't win. It doesn't matter how far you go. Damascus, Antioch, wherever you go, you won't be able to win this one. I have many people and I'm working in them. Paul says, well, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And he sent him to Ananias, and Ananias says, Brother Saul, the Lord has sent me. And Ananias, the Lord told Ananias, I will show him how great things he must suffer. He didn't say how great miracles he will perform in my name. He didn't say, I will show him what great crown there is laid up for him. He said, I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, did Paul know what was in store? Did he know how much suffering he was going to face? No, no. As a matter of fact, one of Pastor Smith's lessons, where I think he talked about Paul when he was in Lystra, where he was, they stoned him to death. Do you think Paul banked on that happening when he was going to Lystra? No. Now, as he went along the way, as his tribulation began to increase and his patience began to increase, then guess what also increased? His trust in the Lord. His conviction, his suffering, as it increased, the tribulation worked patience. The patience experienced, the experience hope. And the hope, he didn't get discouraged because he knew that God was with him. He was prepared to face that suffering. Acts 20, he said this. Look back at Acts 20. You remember when they told Paul that, don't go up here. If you go up here, you're going to have some problems. Acts 20, start at verse 17. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations. That sounded like he was enjoying his salvation. I would say yes. You would read that and say no. But he said yes. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit, small s, not my will, but what? His will. I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying, bonds and afflictions abide me. Now, this would be a good time for him to change his itinerary, wouldn't it? If somebody said to you, Larry, don't go to work Monday because there's a guy waiting for you and he's going to beat you to a pulp. Would that be a sick day for you? Probably.
A sick week,
right. As a matter of fact, that's my 2 weeks' notice.
Sure.
And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course, which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. You remember last week I told you that faith leads to faithfulness? After the message is committed to you, then you become entrusted with it, whether you like it or not. Whether you stand for it, support it, suffer for it, you still have been entrusted with it, and you will, just like the parables we talked about last week, you will become accountable for the talent or the treasure that you've been entrusted with. You just don't get it and bury it. Well, that's not the goal, for you to get it and bury it. There's some responsibility that comes along. There's an expectation that the Lord has to work in you. Verse 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn every one of you night and day with tears. Here we go. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. And I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all, and they all wept sore, and fell on Paul's neck, and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. Now, that's a big, not my will, but thy will. Just like the Lord knew his hour was coming, but he could say, Abba, Father. Could you look at Paul? Could you see him saying, Abba, Father, without him saying, Abba, Father? Sure. Sure. And the Holy Ghost told him. He said, look, this is what's waiting. Now, I ask you this before we go back to Romans. Could Paul have changed his course? Could he have changed his mind and said, I don't want to go?
Free will.
Yeah, he could have. You know, I was talking to Karen 2 weeks, or maybe last week, where the Holy Ghost in Acts 16 forbade Paul to go to Asia. And he tried. Twice. Maybe three times. And the Holy Ghost wouldn't let him. The point I'm getting at is this. he can still do some things, even the Holy Ghost said, don't do it. Just like he could, the Holy Ghost could say, do it, then he can choose not to do it.
Yeah, I don't think the Holy Ghost led him to do the vow at Jerusalem.
Did he tried, didn't he?
He tried, but they stopped him.
One thing that Paul had to his benefit was this, that because of his position, the Lord would intervene on his behalf at that time. Now, we don't have those supernatural events where you're going to be delivered from prison or miracles and signs and wonders being worked, but you still have this, that opportunity to make a choice whether to do his will or not, whether to suffer or not, whether to stand or not. See, the Holy Spirit, the witnessing that he's doing to us now is through this book. And you can find out what's in store for you by looking at the patterns. After salvation, he wants you to be sanctified and meet for the Master's use. And if you choose to do it his way, what's next? Suffering. That's a guarantee. Now, you're not, I think somebody said this last week, it's not on the scale where they were being suffering under blood yet. What we get now is ridicule, ostracization from friends and other religious people. You're not getting punched in the face yet here, but who's to say that they could be around the corner? Back to Romans 8. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit. We're the sons of God. We're the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God. That's automatic by salvation. And joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. We talked a little bit about that last week. Is this, you, the moment you are saved, or as somebody would say, you got my foot in the door. The moment you get your foot in the door, you're guaranteed a position, eternal life. That's what God, that cannot lie, promised. You got it. Whether you don't sing a hymn, give a dime, say a prayer, the Lord knows the hearts, and the moment you make that heart transaction, it is irreversible. It's eternal. It's an eternal transaction. That death, burial, and resurrection locks you in to eternal life. It's free. It's a gift. There was a lady in Detroit, and I think I told you this before. She says, I went over there and I was doing something for her. And she says, well, you know, I'm a Buddhist now. And I said, well, really? I said, I didn't know that. She said, yeah, I don't believe this. I don't believe grace message anymore. I'm a Buddhist now. I'm a practicing Buddhist. And I said, oh, okay. I said, well, okay. What happened? You know, and she just began to talk about things that she didn't believe. And I said, okay, well, I'm sorry to hear that, but guess what? Whether she said I'm an ist or an it or an or in an ism, once that transaction was made, she can't reverse it. she can say, I'm not a Christian, I'm not a believer. That would be great if it was something that she could change. But when she gets there, let me try to give you an example. The first thing that came to my mind was Moses. This might be a bad example, but when Moses, when he went out to spy his brethren, and he killed that Egyptian and hid him in the sand. He had to leave Egypt. And he spent 40 years keeping sheep. I'm sure he wasn't thinking anything about in Exodus when he was a goodly child. Well, I don't think he was thinking anything about what his parents knew that he was to be the deliverer. He probably said, well, enough of this deliverer title. I'm going to find me a new job. Keeping sheep. Now, that was great until he walks through the desert one day on the job and he sees the bush burning. And I'm paraphrasing this in the modern day translation. And the Lord says, Moses, hey Moses, remember that job? Remember your real job? Time to go to work. Now, I say that to say this, is she can go the next 40 years as a Buddhist. But when the time comes for that package to be picked up, guess who's going to pick it up? It won't be Buddha. It's going to be the Lord Jesus who bought it.
Though we believe not, yet he remaineth faithful. He cannot deny himself.
Do you think he's going to pick her up? Absolutely. That package that I bought, you know, that's a transaction that he made. And guess the earnest of the inheritance is in her. The Holy Spirit. It's in her. Whether she likes it or not, the Lord says, you've been bought with a price. Now, you chose to suffer, but you still belong to me, and we'll sort that out when I get to you. Now, same way, she denounced it verbally. She denounced it knowingly. Now, we could denounce him the privilege and the honor of suffering. We could denounce him, and yet we attend services every week. Well, when we did. You know, it's nothing to go in Sunday and get your shot in the arm. You know, it's nothing to go in and take your energy pill, your spiritual energy pills, a couple of songs from the choir, a good motivational sermon, and then you go out, no suffering, no commitment. You just come in to kind of get gassed up to coast to the next week. And you say, well, that's not denying him. It's not. Through the week, is he using us through the week? Or are we on cruise control? When I say cruise control, you just hit the Larry button and just coast on through the week. No detours. Romans 8, verse 17, he says, and if children, then heirs. You get that automatically. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Same principle. We talked about that last week in Matthew, where those 12, they said, Lord, we have forsaken all for you. What do we get? He says, I'm saying to you that, paraphrasing this, that you which have followed me in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, you shall sit with me on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And he said, and not just you, but any of you who have forsaken homes and houses and lands and mothers and fathers and family members for my sake, he says, I'll do the same for them. You won't labor for the Lord suffer for him and not be rewarded. This is what being having the attitude of faithfulness first. It won't go unrewarded. And think about this. If you went to work, your regular job, and they told you, hey, there's after next week, we won't be able to pay you. You can come in if you want to, but we won't be able to pay you after this. The only way you would go back is if you really, really loved the job. If you were going to do what you were going to do anyway. Right? 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul said to the Corinthians, you should be supporting me as a son, as a father. I should be getting rewarded, supported for my labor. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11. Is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partaker of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but what?
Suffer
all things, lest we should hinder what we've been entrusted with. That doesn't sound like the preachers today, does it? He's not. You don't pay him. Guess what? Who won't be there Sunday? He says, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. But I have used none of these things. Neither have I written these things, that it should be done so unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. Wait a minute, Paul. What glory? What are you talking about? For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Listen, the thing that I believe, it has been entrusted to me now. He says, verse 17, for if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is what?
Committed
unto me. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. Now, I went to that because Paul is saying, listen, I suffer these things. I suffer myself to be mistreated because of what has been entrusted unto me. I will suffer these things for the gospel. And really, for the Lord. Because it's the gospel of the grace of God. And Paul says, look, what you don't give me, I'll rely on him to provide. If you won't get me between a rock and a hard place where you got to say, Paul, don't talk about these things, otherwise you won't get a check Monday or Sunday. You know what Paul said? Well, keep your money. You won't be able to eat. The Lord, you know, if I got to be hungry, I'll trust him for the next meal, not you. You know, my cousin used to sing a song. I guess it's called Glad. I don't know the name of it. But she said, I'm glad that man didn't make sunshine, because he would refuse to shine it on me. Or I'm glad that man didn't make heartache, because he would give me more than I'm able to bear. But it would say, you know, I'm glad that God, that he made me. Now that was the song, but the point was, we are trusting our welfare to the Father, who we have complete trust in as a son. Only a son could say that I'm going to trust him no matter what. When the going gets rough, you don't see that, how you going to work it out? Do you check out? Are you going to check out? After the gospel, you know, the standing for the gospel give you a bad deal? Are you going to check out after that? You got God on a timetable, like we talked about. I'm going to give God up to next year. I'm going to give him next year. If it don't pan out, then I'm done with that. I'm going to give him 5 years. God's on your 5-year plan, right? We give 5 years. If it don't happen in 5 years, I'm switching to Pentecostal. whatever. A son, you gotta look at it like this. As a son, no matter what happens, I'm going to trust him in the outcome. I'm going to suffer through it with him. Trusting him. 8:17. And if children and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. There's the good part. If you can make it through the suffering, guess what's next? The glorifying together. Now, that's not just our bodies, but that's the labor that we put in too. Now, let me say it this way. All of us will be glorified. When I say all of us, will have the adoption. That's the new body. New body, Pastor Smith. You know, no old back. Check that in. You get that checked in. Louise, you get that stuff. You get all that stuff checked in with the new body. Larry, get that stuff checked in. Jenny?
Yes.
All those pains, they get checked in.
Thank you, Lord.
That's my wife. She's, you know what? She said, you can't go out there doing the stuff you used to do.
Right.
you're not a spring chicken. I'm not even a fall chicken now. It's like I can't even do it. But you get that. You get the new body suited for the position, for the inheritance that you will participate in. In Philippians, he says that God will change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. That's what we'll have, is a glorious body. To partake in the glory. When I say the glory, that is to position as a son. So you can worship and serve him in that realm. So naturally, it would stand to reason, is the reason you get a new body is to function in your new position. In the 1 Corinthians, he says this, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 47. I should narrow that down, but we're just going to read that. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Who's he talking about? Who's us? Who's we?
Members of the body.
That's right. Are you bearing the image of the earthy right now?
Oh, yes.
You bet you are. or more so, he's wearing you. wearing you out. Mm-hmm. You know, Perry did a message. I don't know if y'all listened to that. I told you to listen to that. It's Countdown. He did a message a couple of weeks ago, Countdown. I thought it was very, as usually is, they're very interesting. But, you know what? Our old man, he's counting down on us now. Mm. You can start scratching those days off.
Expiration date we don't know about.
Say it again?
We have an expiration date that we don't know about.
That's right. You have an expiration date that you don't know about. But you know it's coming, don't you?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Our outward man perishes, but the inward man is renewed
day by day.
Day by day. Now, one fact is, like you said, you know that perishing is happening. You feel it. What you don't feel is the inward man. Now, you could be giving him some supplements. You could be giving the inward man some vitamins right now. I give you one guess what that vitamin would be, what the supplement is.
His word.
That's right. Verse 49. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Inherit, key word. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying, it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And I'm going to skip there. Well, let's keep going. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Period. Close the book, end of the chapter. Nope, not quite. The reason he was telling this to the Corinthians is that they didn't want to live for him. They didn't want to suffer for him. They felt like this. There's no resurrection. So what's the use? 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, sometimes working.
Always.
Always
abounding.
That's a modifier. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, for as much as you know that your labor on the job, your labor at FedEx, your labor at UPS, Your labor where?
In the Lord.
In the Lord. Is not in vain. Where?
In the Lord.
In the Lord. Right. Your real job. Your real vocation. Your real vocation is working for Him. You did. You knew that though, right? You knew your job is your job that you, 401k job, pension. You did know that was secondary, right?
Right.
Okay. Just check. That's, 'cause they can take your money. They can do a, like Bernie Madoff. They can take your pension and, hey, sorry, man. We know you worked 35 years, but the money is just not there.
Right.
Come on, Larry. Get a hold of yourself. Go find another job. But the Lord says this, that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's a righteous judge, a righteous employer. He's going to pay you fairly for all the labor, in air quotes, and all the labor that you did. Matter of fact, first, same book, flip back to 15, flip back to verse 12. 15, 8.
Well, even in that parable in the Gospels, the master gave them talents to utilize. So those talents came from him to begin with.
He entrusted them with it, didn't he?
Yes.
There you go. 15:9. For I am, Paul said this, I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle. Why, Paul? Because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was worthless. Was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly. There's the modifier. Than they all. Than who all?
All of y'all.
All of y'all.
12.
That's, now, look. But he said this. Yet not I. But the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. But what I want was this. Paul says, I labored, but it wasn't me. It was the grace of God that was with me. Just like we read earlier, that Jesus Christ was a man approved of God among you, that he did all those signs, miracles, and wonders by God, that God did by him. Guess what God will do by us if we yield to him? If we say not my will, but his will, the thing that you think is can't be done. You know why you think it can't be done? Because you trying to get it done. You trying to say, I'm going to do this. Instead of trusting his grace to get you to it, through it, or to sustain you in it. Last verse. Philippians chapter 1 verse 20. Philippians 1:20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope. Sound familiar? That in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is what? Gain. Paul said, my goal is for him to be magnified in my body. He did buy it, didn't he? Yeah, he bought it. You said, show me the receipt. Well, he should be proving that to you, shouldn't he? The receipt, the Holy Spirit. He should be, I'm saying this in human terms so you can relate to it. He should be whispering to you daily. What does he say to you? You know, like, hey, don't go there. Or he might say, hey, don't say that. Hey, don't do that. Or hey, don't watch that. Hey, what you doing? Hey, what is this? You know what he whispered to you. Why are you looking like you don't know what I'm talking about? You know what he whispers to you. That conscience, that Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit. Not just that you're the children of God, but he bears witness with your spirit that, hey, stop doing that. Or don't do that.
Not this again.
Not this again, right. Again? Right, that. Or, you know what? You know what time it is? Is it time to read yet? I'm hungry. Anyway, we're going to stop there. Back to Romans 8. We're going to pick up at verse... We'll pick up at verse... we'll leap off 17 next week and go down another verse or two as much as we can get in. But along with our position as sons, God expects us to practice that position. He expects us to trust him enough to support his program, to suffer for his cause, for his sake, to yield for his purposes. That's the whole reason for us being called into this gospel. Or Paul would say in Romans 5, that's the whole purpose of us having access into this grace wherein we stand, is that we rejoice in expectation of the glory of God. It's being able to work fully for him and with him. All right, we're going to stop there. Let's close out with prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for recording these things for our edification, for our enlightenment, and also for our empowerment. The Holy Spirit may take these words and make them real to us, and that the fruit might be manifest in our mortal bodies. We just thank you again for this time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.